fascinating to watch a young couple in love. They have no problem communicating with each other. And they come in to get married, and the pastor asks them if they're able to communicate. They'll say, oh yes, that's one of our strongest areas. They're going to talk excitedly and enthusiastically to each other by the hour. There are times when they both seem to be talking at one time, and we wonder who's listening. The fact of the matter is they're both listening. They have such an uncanny ability to communicate with each other that they can talk and listen at the same time. They soon learn that they lose that knack, however, because then they get married and everything changes. They begin to feel like they've heard most of the interesting things the other person has to say, and they know most of the interesting things about that other person there is to know, and quite frankly, they don't always like some of the things they hear coming from that other person's mouth. So listening isn't nearly as easy and exciting as it used to be, and it doesn't come automatically as it once did. It's work. It takes time and it takes energy, and they aren't always willing to give it or invest it. It's an art that must be cultivated and developed, and they're not interested in working at cultivating and developing the art of listening. They begin to lose the motivation and the inclination to listen to each other. And again, we wonder, who's listening? As the old story goes, there was a time when he talked and she listened. On their honeymoon, she talked and he listened. Now that they're settled in their house, they both talk and the neighbors listen. And if they aren't yelling loud enough for the neighbors to listen, maybe nobody's listening. Could it be? Pastor Joe was telling me he was reading a book by Paul Tournier where he called this generation the dialogue of the deaf. That may sum up where we are today. And the problem not only exists in marriage, it affects every relationship of life. Our failure to listen to one another in all walks of life is probably our most serious hindrance to good communication. We can be looking someone straight in the eye, nodding our consent and grunting, and our mind is miles away, perfecting our golf swing, stewing over that lost contract, worrying about the report we got from the doctor yesterday, hunting tigers on an African safari, planning tomorrow's dinner, or any number of other things. We give only superficial attention to what is being said, and sometimes we miss it altogether. I can miss that happens when I preach. I know it happens. Some people miss it altogether. Let's face it, most of us would rather talk than listen. We consider listening to be a temporary and unpleasant interlude between opportunities to say something ourselves. Instead of giving attention to what others are saying, we're thinking about what we're going to say next, either to amaze and amuse our friends or to confound and convince our opponents. And the result may be conversation, but it is not real communication. We may be in a group, but in that case we are not functioning as a body because there is no real fellowship going on. We really are not learning to know each other better so that we can minister to each other's needs more effectively. We're just a group of isolated islands, each one calling out for somebody to care, but nobody responding. And the only way to build bridges between these islands is to listen. It's the only way. We've got to listen to one another. Now, it isn't easy, admittedly. Let's talk about the obstacles to listening, first of all, this morning. And there are many of them. Some people speak so slowly, we want to drag it out of them. Actually, we can all think about 5 times faster than the average person can speak. And that makes for an obstacle. Some people speak so rapidly, we can't understand their words. Some speak so softly we can't hear them. Others speak so loudly we're embarrassed to be near them. Some people talk about things that are irrelevant or illogical. Others drone on about trivial and insignificant matters that bore us. Some people can't seem to say what they mean. Other people can't seem to be quiet when they're finished. They just keep on and on. And they're all obstacles to listening. I guess all of us could be more considerate of others when they do us the favor of lending a listening ear, and that is a favor. But those very people who are most difficult to listen to may be the very ones who need to be listened to the most. And God may be calling on us this morning to become good listeners. There are many things that we can't do. Lots of things that we're not capable of doing. God hasn't gifted us to do it. But if we have at least one functioning ear, we ought to be able to listen. And it's very important that we do so. I guess one of the greatest obstacles we'll have to overcome is our early training and subsequent habit patterns. As children, maybe we were told to be quiet and to stop interrupting and go away. Mommy and Daddy don't have time to listen right now. And we got the idea that grown-ups don't listen. A study was made of school children on each grade level, and it was revealed that as they grew older, each grade level showed less concentration and less willingness to listen than the level before it. As we grow older, we listen less, in other words. I guess we have more things to think about. We have more facts in our brain cells to draw on when we take our mental excursions, and we listen less the older we get. And then sometimes we allow ourselves to be distracted by external factors. People walking by, noises, the speaker's personal appearance, maybe some annoying mannerism. I remember talking to someone some years ago who always said, and I mean every few sentences he would say, "You know what I mean? You know what I mean?" And it used to bother me. And I would begin thinking about that idiosyncrasy, and I would lose track of what he was trying to say to me. Sometimes listening can be threatening to us. We're afraid we're going to hear some criticism of ourselves that we'd rather not hear, or some change somebody thinks we ought to make that we don't want to make, or some demand that they're going to put upon us that we don't want to meet. We may hear an idea or an opinion that challenges our precious opinion that we would rather not give up, and so we just don't even want to hear it. And our best defense may be to stop paying attention. We may simply feel that it's going to take too much effort to understand what that person is trying to say to us. And so the easiest thing to do is to turn off our mental hearing aids. It's too much trouble. Why bother? Why bother to listen? That's a good question. I'd like to try to answer it. I'd like you to see why it is important that we listen to one another. Let's look at the motive for listening. And the best way to share it, I think, would be to turn to 1 John chapter 4 and verse 7. 1 John 4, 7. It's a good verse to memorize. It's not our memory verse this week. That's James 1:19. A very important verse on communication. But if you want to memorize 2, memorize 1 John 4:7, because it is likewise important. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Love one for another. You see, listening is an important and necessary expression of love. Real love listens. Love is basically giving of ourselves unselfishly, sacrificially, and unconditionally to meet the needs of those to whom it is expressed. Giving to meet needs. One universal human need is the need to be understood. All of us have it. We want to be assured that somebody knows us, is sensitive to what's happening inside of us, feels what we are feeling in the deepest part of our being, and yet accepts us and cares for us in spite of it. That's love. That's the assurance of being loved. And it's impossible for anybody to do that except for someone who truly listens to us. Listening says, "I care about you. You're important to me. You're important enough to invest all the time and effort necessary in order for me to understand you. That's how much I care for you." The writer to the Hebrews said we were to encourage each other daily. That's a demand laid upon us by God. And I don't know of anything more encouraging than to know that somebody cares. And somebody who cares will listen. Because love listens. You see, we can say with our mouths over and over again, "I love you." But unless we're willing to put aside other things and give of ourselves unselfishly to discern the deepest needs of the one we profess to love, those words are really meaningless. They need to be demonstrated by the action of listening. True love is focused on the benefit of others rather than ourselves. That's what love is. So it means we need to focus on understanding others. Most of us want to be understood. One of the greatest complaints we hear is he doesn't or she doesn't understand me. God says we need to give more emphasis to understanding than we do to being understood. That's love, you see. Some husbands and wives feel totally misunderstood. They try to communicate with their mates their thoughts, their feelings, their needs, their longings, their desires, and they get little response. Their mates have been too preoccupied with other things, their work, their hobbies, the newspaper, the television, housework, other friends, so many things to occupy our attention. And then one day they meet someone who's genuinely interested in what they have to say, and they allow themselves to be drawn into an illicit relationship. The third party may be far less attractive than their mate, but that doesn't make any difference because they think they have found someone who cares. It's sin. No rationalization on earth can make it right. It brings a whole new set of problems and heartaches. But they don't even seem to care. Because, you see, they feel loved and accepted and understood for the first time in their lives. That's how important this is, folks. That is some demonstration of the power, the awesome power of the listening ear. People often go to professional counselors just because they know they will listen. It's not that they need advice so much as they need someone who will listen to them with keen interest and undivided attention, who will ask questions to draw them out. And they come out feeling like they understand themselves better. They didn't get any advice at all, necessarily. But somebody listened. And that's what made the difference. It doesn't even matter that it costs money. They're willing to pay $100 an hour for it. It's that important to us. I'm trying to demonstrate how very important it is to listen to one another. I read about a coffee house in San Francisco. It has 14 soundproof booths in it. And for $8 an hour, you can find somebody who will listen to you. They hire people. No counselors, no psychologists are allowed. Just warm-hearted, gracious, caring people, that's all. You're in a booth, and they'll listen to you for an hour. Business is booming because people need to be listened to. We want somebody to hear us out and understand us. Most everybody wants to talk. They want to express their opinions and give advice and offer quick, easy solutions to things. Few of us are willing to take the time to listen and to understand. Now, understanding doesn't necessarily mean we agree. Sometimes we confuse that. We accuse our spouses of not understanding because they don't agree with it. But understanding is feeling what they are feeling and seeing it from their perspective. Seeing it as they see it, and being able to empathize with them, sympathize with them, feel with them. That's understanding. Far too few of us really do it. This is one area where members of the body can minister to one another, where we need to minister to one another. It's impossible for vocational pastors to meet this need in the life of every believer in a congregation. Utterly, absolutely impossible. But we can all minister to one another in the body. It doesn't take much training to be a good listener, to ask a few leading questions, encourage somebody to talk and share what they're really feeling. That doesn't take a lot of training. And by listening to one another, we can bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. As Paul encourages us to do in Galatians 6:2, that's the way to do it. one excellent way, by listening to each other, we can demonstrate Christ-like love. Are you willing to do it? Do you see its importance? Are you willing to be somebody who truly gives of himself to listen? If you are, let's talk about what it involves then. Thirdly, the nature of listening. The Apostle James probably gave us the classic statement on listening in James 1:19. James 1:19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be quick to hear, swift to hear, that is, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Now, James has just introduced the subject of God's Word. In verse 18, he said that we were born again by the Word of truth. In verse 22, he's about to encourage us to be doers of the Word and not hearers only. This context is about God's Word. And in its context, this verse deals basically with listening to God's Word. If I read Christian books on communication, that's not always pointed out. But that's what it means in its context. Listening to God, keeping our mouths closed, and just listening is going to help guard us from angrily denouncing people who disagree with us. Being quick to hear Him and slow to speak will make us slow to wrath. But in that exhortation about God's Word, James has touched on a vital principle of good interpersonal communication. And I want to draw the analogy from it to human relations. Recognizing in this context, it talks about God's Word, there is an analogy that we cannot escape. More listening to one another and more thinking before we speak is going to result in less anger and less conflict. That principle is inviolable. It's an analogy to our relationship to the Lord in James 1:19. So be quick to hear. In other words, make listening a top priority in your life. Do it without delay. Do it without having to be begged and badgered to do it. Do it with zeal. Do it with enthusiasm. Be swift to hear. Make it important in your life. In Norm Wright's book on communication, The Key to Your Marriage, he says, listening is more than politely waiting for your turn to speak. It's more than hearing words. Real listening is receiving and accepting the message as it is sent. It's seeking to understand what the other person really means. And that's something we lose sight of. That's what we do in God's Word, in good Bible study. We seek to discover what God means by those words. Not the meaning we seek to attribute to them, but what God means. I have to admit to you this morning, what I'm doing is not good Bible study today. This is not good expository preaching this morning. And I will be the first one to admit it. But I think it's an important lesson we need to learn, and I can draw it by analogy from this passage, but that's not what this passage is talking about. I just wanted to explain that. Good Bible study seeks to learn what God says and what He means by the words He uses. But that's what good listening is, too, by analogy. You see, too often we listen, or we can't really help it. We listen to others speak with a tendency to fill their words with the meaning colored by our own background and by our own experiences and by our own mindset and our own preconceived point of view. We need to remember that, incidentally, when we talk to other people. They don't always understand where we're coming from. Can give you some good biblical illustrations of that. Solomon said to his lovely bride, he said, your hair is like a flock of goats descending from Mount Gilead. And that was a beautiful symbol to her. She could visualize looking across the way to Mount Gilead and seeing these goats coming down the mountainside in their symmetrical flowing patterns. But I'll tell you, gentlemen, you tell your wife that her hair is like a flock of goats today and you're in big trouble. She'll probably scratch her eyes out and won't talk to you for 3 weeks. You see, real listening does not just hear words. It endeavors
to understand the meaning of the message intended by the speaker of those words. That's listening. Anybody can hear words. Anybody can repeat the words over again. A parrot can do that, folks. But you can't have much fellowship with a parrot. We need to understand meaning. Real listening hears people and what they mean, and so builds understanding between them, builds bridges between them. Isn't that what we really want? Isn't that what you want in your relationship? Well, how can we get it then? How can we be quick to hear? Let's share four principles that might help us. Number one, give your undivided attention. Let's draw the analogy from God's Word again, okay? In verse 25 of James 1, we read, "And whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth in it, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his doing." Now the word for looking into literally means to stoop down beside. The idea in the word is intensity. We're to look into God's Word intensely. And that, folks, is the way we ought to listen. Intensely. In other words, we'll not be able to listen very well while we're watching the ball game, or reading the newspaper, or running the vacuum cleaner, or straightening up the living room. Undivided attention will require eye contact. If we keep looking at other things, glancing at the clock, tapping our fingers on the side of the chair, you know, we obviously are communicating a lack of interest in what is being said. And sometimes our actions and our body language speak louder than our words. Undivided attention will also require keeping our minds from wandering. That's our choice. We can do that if we want. We think we can't, but we can. It's within our will to do it. You see, in verse 25, he looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, abides, perseveres in God's Word. Let's draw the analogy to listening to each other. We need to abide, rivet our minds securely to what the other person is saying, and abide in it, be immersed in it. It's a good principle for listening. It's not always easy. We're prone to let our minds take mental excursions to someplace more interesting. But we can discipline ourselves to pay attention if we want to. That's our choice. Visualizing what the other person is saying will help us. Putting ourselves in the scene that he's describing, seeing it in our mind's eye, that will help us pay attention. Trying to feel exactly what he is feeling as he explains himself, that will help us pay attention. That's continuing, abiding in what he's saying, that's being immersed in it. Will all make it easier for us to concentrate. There are little things we can do to help ourselves do what God wants us to do, and that's listen to each other. Second, don't interrupt. Go back to verse 19. "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak." That's a necessary part of good listening. Oftentimes we think we know what the other person is going to say, so we jump in and finish his sentence for him. And unfortunately, we may miss his point entirely. And our interruption only serves to confuse the whole issue, making forget his train of thought. It's not very kind or loving. We may also be quick to express our disagreement or to offer advice before we have fully understood what he's really saying. And Solomon had a word about that too in Proverbs 18:13. He said, "He who gives an answer before he hears, it is folly and shame to him." Something we ought to remember. I saw a poster recently that said, "If there's one thing I can't stand, it's somebody talking while I'm interrupting." And I think a lot of us live by that philosophy, don't we? We interrupt in other ways as well. Even something as insignificant as a look on our faces can say, "Oh, brother, here we go again. How many times do I have to listen to this?" I have a look that says that. I can't reproduce it for you because I've never seen it, but my wife has seen it. And those words are a direct quotation from her. "Your look says, oh brother, here we go again, do I have to listen to this?" And I have to admit it, she's usually right. That was what I was thinking when she said that. So I know I've got that look. And that look stifles communication and it builds resentment that someday will erupt in conflict if it isn't dealt with, you see. That's interrupting. Sometimes we interrupt our conversations to do things we think are more important at the moment, but they really could wait. That other person is more important. Our relationship is really more important. You know what the one thing is that interrupts good communication in our house more than any other single thing? You know what it is? The telephone. Blasted instrument. You know, maybe we ought to just let the thing ring sometimes rather than interrupt good communication that's going on. Or answer quickly and say, I can't talk right now. We're right in the middle of something. Can I call you back? Or call me back in 15 or 20 minutes or something of that nature. Folks, if this is something that's important to God and He wants us really to listen to one another, then we're going to have to put a high priority on it. We're going to have to sense how important it is and work at it. If we really want to build bridges and have the kind of relationships God wants us to have. Third, listen non-defensively. Some of us would rather not listen because we've already made up our minds on the subject. Or, as we mentioned before, you know, we're anticipating some criticism we won't like or some change somebody wants us to make or demand they want to put on us. And so we cut the speaker off or change the subject to something more to our liking or raise our defenses before he's ever finished. You know, we've got our dukes up. We're ready to do battle. That doesn't make for good communication. That hardly expresses the love of Christ. You see, here in our relationship to God's Word in verse 22, we're told to be doers of the Word and not hearers only. And I think there's an analogy there, too, to human listening, that is, interpersonal communication. We ought to be open to accepting new information from each other that may differ from our long-cherished views, and even willing to consider making changes for their benefit. In other words, to consider doing it as well as hearing it. I think we all have convictions and habits that we cherish dearly. We have long been convinced there really is no other way but our way until somebody confronts us and challenges us with another way who feels that their way is the only right way, and then we're faced with a decision, you see. It happens all the time in marital relationships. Money is one of the favorite ones. One believes the husband should pay the bills, the other feels perfectly all right about delegating that to his wife. And maybe the husband and wife differ on that. Contention. Or one is convinced every spare penny should be saved, and the other feels that after we pay our bills and give to the Lord's work, we can spend a little bit of money, moderately anyway, on family entertainment, to build family relations. You know, families have argued for years over that. Well, a little bit of open-mindedness and non-defensive listening could have resulted in a compromise that would be acceptable to everybody. Listen non-defensively. Vacations are another favorite difference. You know, one loves the mountains, the other loves the beach. One wants to go, go, go and see everything there is to see. The other wants to stop and do nothing and rest and relax. And all attempts to share their feelings or give reasons for their preferences are met with angry resistance. That, folks, is hardly Christ-like love. Love does not seek her own. 1 Corinthians 13:5. She's not always looking out for what it wants. Love not only hears others out without interruption, but it's sensitive to what to their feelings and considerate of their opinions and open. Open to what they say and willing to consider making changes for their benefit. That willingness, that non-defensiveness, but openness says, I love you, I care about you, you're important to me. Have you been saying that to each other, folks? Parents to children? Children to parents? Our willingness to listen and consider making changes. It's an important expression of love. We disagree with what's being said. It might be better to ask for clarification than merely to express our differences immediately. Is this, do I understand you correctly? Is this what you're saying? And then put it in our own words. Do I understand that this is why you feel the way you do? And then rephrase it in your own language. Some communications experts suggest that we not answer another person until we've been able to communicate the meaning of their statement in our own words, to their satisfaction. That might be a good idea. So much of what is said is vague, ambiguous, or poorly stated, and it requires clarification. And when we're finally able to restate it, his position to his satisfaction, we may find that our disagreement really dissolves. That's understanding, in the best sense of the term. Good listening that asks questions and requests clarification may eventually help the person who's speaking learn to say what he means with greater clarity. And that would be a loving thing to do for him, rather than just jump on him all the time because he hasn't said it right. Maybe we could help him learn to express himself more clearly. It would also help keep everybody's anger level down. Just as James said, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and the result will be he'll be slow to wrath. Finally, I put in the outline, respond positively. What I really mean by that is say something. If you write that beside respond positively, say something. Don't just sit there with a blank stare on your face like a dodo bird. Speak up, you know. Say something. I think us husbands are notorious for not responding at all. Our wives try to communicate and we just sit there in stony silence. And I guess some wives are guilty of that too. And silence can be a good thing. Somebody said it was golden, and it may be. There may be times when we just want to enjoy each other's company without saying anything. Solomon said there's a time to speak and a time to keep silent. He also said the fool utters all his mind, but the wise person keeps it in till afterward. There's a good time to keep your mouth closed. True. But silence when we're spoken to is ambiguous. Other people don't know what it means. It could mean anger, defiance, disagreement, or it could mean understanding, acceptance, and consent. It may mean, I don't think you're worth listening to. On the other hand, it may simply mean, I don't know what to say. Well, if that's what it means, say that. I don't know what to say, but say something. Inevitably, silence is interpreted to mean, I don't care what you're saying. In other words, indifference. That's the way it's usually interpreted. And that hurts. So say something. Or at least let people know we're listening and that we care. Maybe you could say something like, I understand what you're saying, or I can appreciate that, or it sounds to me like you're, and then rephrase it so that they know that's their clue that you're really interested and you're willing for them to say more about it, which is what they probably would like to do and need to do. That's love, you see. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. It's one of the evidences that we're truly born again. This willingness to listen to one another. Love listens. And folks, when we truly love one another, when we truly love one another, people won't be asking, who's listening? They'll know. They'll know that we are all listening to one another. Because the love of Jesus Christ is flowing through us. As important as it is to listen to one another, it's far more important to listen to God. Don't miss that. Because listening to Him is a matter of eternal life and eternal death. It's a matter of heaven or hell. Did you know that? A lot of people haven't listened to God on this matter. You ask them how a person gets to heaven, and they'll tell you, oh, probably by doing good deeds, or going to church regularly, or being kind to my neighbor. That isn't what the Bible teaches. God puts a high premium on all those things. They're very important to Him. But He tells us very clearly that that isn't the way to get to heaven. He tells us that the only way to heaven is to acknowledge our sin and believe that Jesus Christ died in our place and paid the debt we owe God because of our sin, the penalty we deserve, putting our trust in Him and receiving Him as our Savior. That's how to get to heaven. Have you done that? Have you listened to what God has to say? Are you still talking in your mind? You're saying, oh no, God, it's this way. No, be quiet and listen to what God has to say. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us. By grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Believe Him. Listen to Him today. And put your trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior from sin. He'll forgive your sins. He'll accept you as His child. And He'll assure you of a place in heaven's glory. Listen to Him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I ask you now that you'll help us in this area. We need help in our relationships with one another. And then, Lord, I pray that those who may not have yet grasped this truth and put their trust in Jesus Christ to save you from sin will be willing to do that even now. With our heads bowed together, may I invite you to make this decision which affects eternity, that decides where you're going to spend eternity, heaven or hell. It's that important. Will you say to God right now in the quiet of your own heart, God, I'm a sinner. I believe Christ died for my sins. I need Him as my Savior. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and forgive my sins and save me for eternity. He's longing to do that. He wants to do it. He's waiting for your invitation. Father, I pray that some today will respond to listen to what you have to say and will invite Jesus Christ into their lives to be their eternal Savior and Lord. We ask it in His name. Amen.